And I'm going to ask you to turn the house lights on just so they can follow along in the notes with their Bibles open as well. Father, we come to you in the name of Jesus and we ask you to magnify your Son in the speaking of your word. I ask you for living understanding, Father, that you would reveal Jesus as the magnificent one to us, as King of the nations. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, the body of Christ has emphasized Jesus as the Savior who forgives. I like that. We've emphasized Jesus as the healer, Jesus as the provider. We've emphasized Jesus the protector. But I believe the Holy Spirit wants to emphasize Jesus, the revelation of the magnificent one. The majesty and the glory of this man as King of the nations. This truth from Revelation 5, of course, throughout the whole Bible, but this chapter, it is deeply moving when we see the destiny of Jesus as a man on the earth. That John had an open vision of Jesus' destiny on the earth as a human being. In the future. And when I read this and it touches me, I am awestruck by this man. We're moved by his glory as God. But his deity and his humanity together on the earth as a real man ruling the nations. I mean, he is amazing. The most amazing man. I don't believe that we hardly comprehend who it is we're talking about. We're going to have the shock of our lives when we see him for the first time. We see his amazing splendor. Be a real man with hair and eyes and teeth and a body. A real human. Governing all the spheres of society in every nation on the earth. In total perfection and in beauty. But I don't want to wait till then to be awestruck. I take these passages, begin to talk to him now, say, Jesus, show me yourself as the magnificent one, as King of the nations. He's not only magnificent as king, he's magnificent in many ways, but we're looking at his kingship in this session. Most amazing reality, this man. Genesis chapter 1. This is the foundational decree that God gave. He gave an eternal decree that human beings would rule the earth forever. That's what this decree means. God said, God gave an eternal decree. Humans shall have dominion. They will rule the earth forever. Paragraph B. Adam forfeited his authority. Adam forfeited his authority by yielding to Satan. In Luke chapter 4, he gave his authority over the earth to Satan. That's the time when Satan became the god of this world. But the plan didn't stop there. Because the Father had already decreed, and again, it's an eternal decree. He said, man shall have dominion over the earth, speaking of man and woman together. And when Satan usurped this authority, the Father would say, my plan is not over, for there's another one who is coming. He will become fully man. He will win back the authority of the earth to the human race. And he will govern. And all of those that are connected with him as his bride, his eternal companion, they will govern with him forever and forever. Paragraph C, Daniel chapter 7. This is one of the premier prophecies. about the Messiah. This is one of the premier prophecies. Daniel 7, you want to get this one down. Daniel 7, verse 13 and 14. If it's new to you, just put an underline in and say, okay, I got to get this prophecy. It's one of the premier prophecies about the Messiah who would come as a human. And all the nations of the earth would be given to him. Pretty remarkable. Daniel 7, Daniel the prophet has the open vision. One like the Son of Man. Now, this is the only prophecy in the Old Testament where the Messiah is called the Son of Man. The reason this is important, Jesus used this title, the Son of Man, more than any other title in the Gospels, referring to himself. He called himself the Son of Man more than anything. And each time he was doing it, he was referring to this one prophecy. It might have been his favorite prophecy. I don't know if it works that way. But Daniel, 500 years before Jesus became a man, had the open vision. There's a human. He's coming to the Ancient of Days. That's a title for the Father, denoting the Father's eternal nature, the Ancient of Days. Daniel's a little bit thrown off. How can a human, a man, approach God in the heavens? It's not possible. Because Moses taught that if any man sees God, he would die. He would die overwhelmed by the glory. But here's a real human approaching the Father's throne. Daniel's a little overwhelmed by this vision. In verse 14, how startling. The dominion of the earth that was given to Adam is given to this one man. He's the man that would win the dominion back. Because the Father will never change his plan to rule the earth through humans forever. I mean a billion years from now. The earth will be ruled under God's authority through humans. God wants to rule with his people. Not in spite of his people. Not separate from his people. But in deep relationship with his people. Even as the eternal companion of Jesus, the bride of Christ. Well, in verse 14, Daniel is startled by this vision. To him, to this man, this Messiah figure, Daniel doesn't know who he is because Jesus doesn't become a man for 500 more years. The dominion was given all the nations of the earth. All the nations, not just Israel, all the nations of the earth will serve this man. Daniel, after this vision, must have thought, how can this possibly be? How can one human govern so much? Psalm 2, verse 8. David saw the same thing that Daniel saw. Psalm 2, verse 8. David saw the Father's decree to the Son. Undoubtedly, this was an overwhelming experience for King David, where the Father declared to the Messiah, the nations are your inheritance. So David and Daniel see the same truth. Zechariah 4, 14, verse 9. Zechariah sees it. There's coming a day when the Messiah, a human, a man, will be king over every nation of the earth. I mean, this is staggering. The best man, the most anointed man, like a King David, could hardly manage little Israel. Imagine all 200 plus nations of the earth, being king over all of them at the same time, and being king over them forever. Zechariah saw it. A man king over every nation? Don't you mean king over just Israel? Well, John saw it in an open vision in Revelation 19. His title was clear. It was on his robe. King of all kings. Yes, there will be other kings, but he will be the king over every other king. This glorious man. Psalm 45. This is so wonderful that when Jesus conquers all the nations at the time of his second coming, Psalm 45 is talking about the events related to the second coming of Christ. When this Jewish man, this Messiah, will conquer every nation and he will drive the Antichrist kingdom off of the earth. But look what Psalm 45 says. He will do it in behalf of truth, humility, and righteousness. He will triumph over all of his political enemies, the evil kings of the earth. He will take over all the nations. And when he dispenses the resources of all the nations, he will do it with such truth and humility. He will do it with such generosity. He will cause love to increase across the earth. Beloved, when he rides victorious over all the nations, he will do it with kindness and humility and righteousness in his heart. In other words, this magnificent one is our only assurance that the earth will never diminish in love ever. Once he takes full control at the time of his second coming, love will only increase. It will never diminish ever again for billions and billions of years because the leadership is in this man's hands. When I think of that now, I don't want to wait till then. I thank Jesus. You are utterly amazing. We cannot comprehend who you really are. Again, it will be the shock of our lives when we see this man as a real human with this kind of ability, this kind of humility, this kind of righteousness, this kind of generosity, because all the kingdoms will be his, but he will dispense them in such glorious ways. Never has there been a man with so much authority, with so much humility, with so much wisdom, with so much generosity, with that great authority and with that great wisdom and power. Top of page 8. Well, Revelation 5, it's the grand drama in heaven. It unfolds. Revelation 5, it's the Daniel 7 vision of the Son of Man having dominion over every nation, but it's John elaborates on it as he receives his vision. He sees more than Daniel the prophet saw. It's the same idea, one man having dominion over all nations, the Son of Man, but there's far more details in Revelation 5. So when you study Daniel 7 about the magnificence of Jesus, make sure you read Revelation 5 that elaborates on it in great detail. Paragraph A, it's one of the grand chapters in all the Bible that magnifies Jesus. We see Jesus' eternal destiny on the earth as a man. We know that as God, he lives forever in the past and the future. It is not amazing that God has authority over the earth. That's not surprising at all. What is surprising is that one man has all the authority over the earth. That's the part that's remarkable. John recorded his vision. And in this vision, we'll look at it real briefly. He sees a title deed. He sees a scroll in the hand of the Father, which is the title deed of the earth. The title deed of the earth is lifted up. Who is worthy to take the scroll? What human being can stand in that place of honor that God originally gave to Adam, the dominion over all the earth? What man would be worthy? What man would have so much power and authority but would use it in perfect love and righteousness? Is there any man that deserves this kind of honor and this kind of power? The idea that when Jesus took the scroll from the Father, we'll look at in a minute, the idea is that Jesus will own all the property of the whole earth. He will own all the money, all the banking systems, all the natural resources, all the oil, all the gold of the whole earth will be his in the millennial kingdom. Now, some of you might say, what's the millennial kingdom? It's one of the grand themes of the Bible, that the Messiah will come back to the earth and reign for 1,000 years. You and I will have resurrected bodies. But there will be millions, undoubtedly billions eventually, that will still have natural bodies. And they will live out their lifetime. And Jesus, as the Son of David, as the King ruling in Jerusalem, as a man, will govern these nations that will have natural bodies, and the nations will go for 1,000 years. Then after that, God brings us to the next part of his plan. That's for another time to talk about. Yes, we will have resurrected bodies when the earth is given the full leadership of the earth to the Lord. But again, millions, eventually billions, will still have natural bodies. You want to study the millennial kingdom. I have that notes on it here in these teaching notes, and we have quite a bit of detail of this on our website. I have a 12-part series called Studies in the Millennial Kingdom. Again, it's all free. I encourage you to study it if you don't know about it. It's so much of Jesus' destiny is wrapped up in that truth. I mean, his destiny as a man ruling on the earth as king over the natural nations. Well, let's look at the vision. Revelation 5, verse 1 to 7. How dramatic. John is seeing the same vision of Daniel 7. I saw in the right hand of the Father a scroll. A title deed is what it comes down to mean. But this scroll had 7 seals around it. It was sealed up. It was secure. The contents were private. Verse 2. John said, I saw a strong angel. I mean, what an amazing vision. John must have been absolutely overwhelmed. He goes, this mighty angel takes the center stage and he proclaims, what human being is worthy to take the title deed of the earth? Now again, I'm adding a little interpretation. You can read it as we go. Why is it important that a human being take leadership of the earth? Because God gave the dominion of the earth to humans. God determined from eternity past, when he created the earth, he would only rule it in relationship to human beings, not separate from human beings, but with them in relationship. So a man has to rule the earth. Humans in relationship to that man. Who's worthy? to open the scroll and to loose its seven seals. Now, to loose the seven seals, that's pretty intense. If you read the book of Revelation, that is describing releasing the end time judgments. The question is this: what man is qualified to take the full leadership of the earth, and what man is qualified to loose the judgment seals, to cleanse the earth by releasing the judgments of God? What man has enough wisdom, humility, power, and love to be entrusted with the judgments to cleanse the earth? That's what the strong angel's asking. Verse 5. One of the elders, there's 24 elders around the throne. One of the elders spoke out. There's one man that's worthy. He's the Lion of the tribe of Judah. Now, note, he's from the tribe of Judah. He's a Jewish man. Beloved, Jesus will be a Jewish man forever. Jesus will never be anything but a Jewish man. He'll never be a Swede or African or an American in that sense. He's a Jewish man, but he's a lion. He's bold. He's strong. He's fearless. This man, there's none like him. The elder said, he prevailed. He has already triumphed over Satan by his obedience to the Father as a man. He lived like we live in this world. He resisted every single temptation and obeyed God perfectly. Then he offered himself up to pay the debt of our sin so that we could participate with him in this great destiny and world government. When Jesus had all the glory as God, when he had all the glory, he said, Father, I'll lay it down to go purchase the earth back and to cleanse the earth and to buy back the people. They can be with me forever when I rule. One thing's for sure. When he has all the glory and power, we know what he will do with it. He will honor God and he will love people when he has all the power, because he's already demonstrated it in the past. He's prevailed by his obedience for 33 years, resisted every temptation of the evil one. He prevailed by accepting the role of the one as the lamb who would die for us. The innocent one became guilty so that you and I, the guilty ones, could become innocent before God. And he prevailed. He rose from the dead. He defeated the power of death. He can open the scroll. More than open the scroll, he can loose the judgment seals. He can cleanse the earth. He's the only man that can be trusted with the power to release the judgments of God. What if you could release the judgments of God at your will? Somebody offends you. You might get a little bit of a bad spirit and say, bah humbug, and something bad happens to him. Don't give you the power over judgment. Don't give it to me. We'll stumble with that much power. But there's one who has proven that when he has all the glory, he only uses it for love. He stood, verse 6, like a lamb slain. He's not only a bold lion, he's a meek and humble lamb. Which is he, the lion or the lamb? He is both, with no contradiction in his personality. Verse 7. He took the scroll. He walked up to the Father, just like in Daniel 7, the Son of Man vision. He took the scroll, the title deed of the earth. He said, I will accept the responsibility to cleanse the earth of evil and fully restore it and govern it and replace all the evil leadership on it. I will see to it, Father. It will be done in wisdom, humility, love, and righteousness in every single step of the way. Beloved, who is this man? It's not just the one that forgives you. Yes, he forgives us. It's not just a healer and a provider. He has a dimension of glory about his personhood that is beyond our comprehension in this age. When John saw him in the book of Revelation, John fell like a dead man before him. John fell like a dead man before him. He was so overwhelmed. It was almost like John. John was about 90 years old. I mean, John's the one that laid his head on the Lord's breast. He was Jesus' best friend, some translations say. And he sees Jesus. Eyes like fire, face like the sun. Revelation 1, John falls like a dead man. Jesus, I hardly know who you are. That's the truth. Beloved, I want to know the power of who this man is. I mean, I want the power of who this man is to touch my heart. The splendor, the glory of this man. Paragraph B. The living creatures and the elders, they represent the government of heaven. Verse 8. When Jesus took the scroll, the creatures and the elders, they fell down. They fell down before this man. And they sang a song to this man, all the government of heaven, representing all the redeemed and all the angels. They fell before this man, much like John fell before this man back in Revelation 1. Here we're in Revelation 5. Whenever anyone sees this man in his glory, they fall overwhelmed with his glory. Beloved, I don't want to wait till then to be awestruck by him. I don't want to wait till then to tell people about his majesty. I want to tell them now. He's worthy of it. Verse 9, they sang a song. Jesus, you are worthy to take the leadership of the earth. You are worthy to open the seals, to administrate the cleansing of the earth with the judgment of God. Why? For you were slain. You were slain and redeemed us to God. When you had all the glory for eternity as God, you laid aside your privileges because of love to come after us. We trust you with the authority over all things. Let's look at paragraph D. They said you are worthy. And on earth, we agree with that glorious decree, you are worthy. But when we declare the worth of Jesus, the worthiness of Jesus, we declare it in three distinct ways. At least, there might be more. Number one, when we say, you are worthy, what we're saying, you deserve the highest exaltation of any man in history. You deserve the supreme role of leadership over all the earth. You deserve it. You deserve to be worshiped night and day. That's the first thing we say. You deserve it. You're worthy. But it means more than he deserves it. Number two, we are declaring you are capable. You are capable of this unprecedented responsibility. You're capable to actually do it in perfect love and humility and righteousness. Can you imagine the work that will be involved in driving evil off the planet, restoring every nation, replacing every government, and bringing the earth to the full dimensions of the Garden of Eden worldwide? That's a big responsibility. But there's only one man. He's worthy of it. He's capable to do this. Then number three, it says that when we say you're worthy, we're saying you're worth it. You're worth our obedience. We say no to sin. We endure persecution. People mock us and laugh at us. Life is hard. The assignment we have in the kingdom is difficult. It's small. Many people don't even know what we do. Those are the things you might say. But we say to Jesus, you're worth it. You're worth it. Every step of obedience that we have walked in, you're worth it. If I had to do it over again, I would do it over again. You're worth it. And you're worth our unqualified trust. Let's look at page 9. Now to the one of the ultimate verses in the Bible about the majesty of Jesus and his destiny on the earth as a man. Revelation 5, verse 11 and 12. The great crescendo of the chapter. The Father is giving, in this vision, John sees the Father giving Jesus unprecedented measure of favor over every sphere of life. John sees 7 spheres of society, of life, and one man is receiving all of the power in every sphere. Now notice the word receives. Now it's interesting that Jesus as God would receive anything. How can God receive? You might ask. Well, Jesus, in his humanity, yes, not diminishing his deity. We are awestruck by his deity. But it's the mixture, fully God, fully man, the combination, I mean. The one man, the one person with 2 natures, fully God, fully man. No one's like him. The voice of many angels. They say, verse 12, worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive, that's the word, to receive power, to receive riches, to receive wisdom, strength, honor, glory, and blessing. Now, in what way does Jesus receive these 7 spheres of favor from the Father? Well, number one, it's by the Father's decree that Jesus gets them. It's the Father ultimately who is giving them to the Son. But it doesn't stop there. The response of the people in the millennial kingdom, again, these eventually billions of people for 1,000 years on the earth that have natural bodies, as the cities are rebuilt, as the agriculture is restored, As the lion and the lamb lay down together and the animal kingdom is restored, as the atmosphere is cleansed, this man, Jesus, under his leadership, will be so effective that all of the people in all of the nations, they will give their allegiance to him in every sphere of life. Paragraph F. And we'll just abbreviate this. Most of these notes I'm going to leave to you to read on your own, but I want to give you the sense of what's happening. During the millennium, the thousand-year reign of Jesus that begins at the time of his second coming, all the power, all the government of all 200-plus nations will be given to him. All the government will be given to him, the power. Everyone in government will be under his authority. Number two, all the riches, all the money, and all the national resources of every nation in the earth will belong to him. Can you imagine if one man owned all the natural resources of our nation? All the gold, all the silver, all the oil, all the gas, all the water rights, all the property rights for the entire nation. That would be terrifying to us. Well, I have good news. He will own all the riches of all the nations, and all the people of the nations, they will gladly submit their riches to his leadership during this thousand-year period. All the wisdom. He will have the insight to fix every problem fully, to restore everything back to God's original intention. But not only that, the fruit of all the wisdom of all the people of the nations, the fruit, the benefit of their wisdom will also be submitted to him. All the strength, all the physical strength. Beloved, the nations will love him with all of their strength. That means their natural resources. That means their physical resources, their time, their energy, their affections, everything that gives them strength, they will submit to him. All the glory, all the honor, all of these will belong to him. All the blessing, all the governments of the earth, they will not resist him. They will bless all of his policies. Could you imagine if the president of our nation at any given time had the rest of the government cooperating with him instead of resisting him? Well, this man, Jesus, every single nation will bless him and cooperate fully with him. Well, let's look at these for just another moment. G, the power. Beloved, this is a real man with all the power, all the government power. He will replace every evil government in every sphere of society. H, all the banking systems will be under him. All the state-owned natural resources will belong to him. All the buildings, all the property, all the real estate will be rightfully his. But the way that he will use it will be in perfect humility, love, and righteousness. He will dispense it with generosity that will be so overwhelming as we see him, because it will really be his. He will not have to share it, except for his nature is love, and it will compel him to share everything with his people. Paragraph K. Well, now let's look at wisdom again. All the intellectual ability of all the nations will be submitted to him, meaning the fruit of what they accomplish. But this man will have wisdom far greater than Solomon. It says in Isaiah chapter 2, Verse 3, I don't have that on the notes. Isaiah chapter 2, verse 3. All the nations will come to Jerusalem to learn his wisdom for every sphere of society. They will come to Jerusalem and say, how can we restore the water and the agriculture? How can we restore education in our nation? And Jesus, with wisdom that will far surpass Solomon, will have every single answer to restore every sphere of life as a man under the anointing. Who is this man? I just imagine 500 years into that 1,000-year reign, they'll come to Jerusalem for a conference on economics. They'll come to Jerusalem for a conference on agriculture. And he'll give them some new information. I can imagine one guy saying, why didn't you tell us this a couple hundred years ago? You knew it back then. I can imagine Jesus smiling, saying, I have many more surprises that will fascinate you for billions of years. Don't worry, I have much more to teach you. Paragraph K. All the glory, all the adulation of the people. All the people, the nations will glory in this man. He will be the magnificent obsession of the nations. All over the earth, not just a little pocket of believers here and there. He will be preeminent in the minds, the affections, the conversations of the whole earth. Everyone will be talking about him continually, but it will never move him from his humility. The fame of his name will cover the earth. Paragraph L. He will receive all the honor. Paul the Apostle in Ephesians 6 spoke of children honoring their parents. Honoring in the sense of respectful obedience. He will be the most obeyed, respected, listened to person in all of human history. They won't listen to him in part. They will honor and obey him in every way. Imagine the earth filled with this. Yes, in our resurrected bodies. By the way, when you have a resurrected body, your body will still be physical. You won't have an ethereal body, spirit body, where like when I see you, we hug each other, we kind of pass through each other, go, whoa, you know, we try to hug each other, whoa. That's not going to happen. You will have a body that's physical with flesh and bones, like Jesus declared in Luke 24. You will have a body with all the supernatural capacities of Jesus' body, and you will be deeply involved in the nations with him. So you're not going to be looking in a theater, looking down. You will be involved with his leadership over the people of the nations. Again, the subject of the millennial kingdom. It's a very important subject. Many young believers have never studied it. I urge you to study it. Again, I have a 12-part series on it, but there's much teaching around the earth. Just go to the websites and ministries and begin to study it. It's glorious. It changes our picture of our future. You're not going to be in heaven, far away, on a white cloud, playing a harp, wondering why, feeling bad because you feel a little bit bored. You will be on the earth because heaven's coming down to the earth with a physical resurrected body. You will be ruling and reigning in an intimate partnership with Jesus and the peoples of the nations. You will love it. Things will not become ethereal and kind of just all symbolic and spiritual, the spiritual and the natural will come together in fullness on the earth just a little ways from now, just down the road after the Lord returns. All this is going to happen. Beloved, we have it made. We have it made. M. He will receive all the blessing. All the nations will agree with his policies, his plans. They will cooperate with his leadership. There'll be no filibustering his laws. Nobody will resist his laws. He will be blessed in all of his plans across the earth. The leaders will say, "We bless your plans. We say yes to you." Such enthusiastic cooperation will result in the most unified, joyful workforce in all of human history. Summary. Paragraph N. I love, it's my favorite paragraph. He will be, I just went on and on. I just stopped and smiled and cried and kept writing. I love it. He will be the most powerful, the most wealthy, the most wise, the most loved, the most praised, the most obeyed, the most respected, the most listened to, the most talked about man in the earth. That's the one who loves you now. Page 10 and 11, I'll just leave that to you to, I give some practical ways to respond to these seven dimensions of favor that he's going to receive, glory and honor and praise. I give you ways to respond to that, to each one of these seven facets of the favor that the Father has ordained for him. And again, I want to highlight page 63. The short teaching on the millennial kingdom. Because if you don't understand that, so much of this won't make sense to you. So I want to highlight page 63. We're not going to look at it in this conference, but I just wanted to put it in the notes for your own edification. Amen. Let's stand.